our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about the vocation of motherhood. I do believe that we women are called to be mothers, if not always in the biological sense, in a spiritual sense. And we've been pondering the long view of the love of Christ. Paul spoke of the length and breadth and depth and height of the love of God. And one of the things that mothers need to learn is that long view versus immediate demands. Your child's immediate demands are very immediate, aren't they? And they are very demanding. But you have to keep in mind that you are shaping a child's destiny, that you are cooperating in God's work. Mary understood the length of the love of Christ, and that will never be understood without a sense of the immeasurable chain of evil which sin causes. The love of Christ reached down and broke that chain of evil. We can never comprehend the length and breadth and depth and height of the love of Christ. And yet, Paul prayed exactly that, that we would. His love, the love of Christ, reaches the son who is farthest from home. Someone is listening to me today who does not know where his child is or where her son is. The Lord knows, and his love reaches out. The breadth of that love, a sense of the world's sin and my own part in it, which reminds me of my responsibility in training my children by example. What do they see? Consistency? True womanliness? Femininity? Submission to my husband, joy in the Lord, hospitality, kindness, graciousness. No one is listening to me who knows that she is always what she wants to be for her children. Of course not. And many of you feel that my programs hold up an impossibly high standard. Yes, in a sense, that's true. Because without holiness, no woman, no man shall see the Lord. Who of us can reach that? Not one of us, without the grace of God. And yet the grace is there, and he wants to help us, and he is shaping us. And day by day, we have the opportunity to become conformed to the image of Christ. And there is no better ground for learning that conformity, no more perfectly designed set of circumstances than that of a mother. Because all the things which contradict our hopes and our will are things which God wants to use in shaping us into the image of Christ. We can't reach the heights. We can't comprehend the depths and the breadth and the length. But we can turn to the mercy of God. He is a merciful, loving Father. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When I get extremely upset with myself, disgusted with myself, so discouraged, just wanting to sink into a pile of self-pity and think I'm not worth anything, I'm no good for anything, then I think of that verse. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We're meant to be helpers, comforters. Think of the shepherd who carries the young lamb and gently leads those that are with young. And what about the height of the love of God? Did you see those incredible photographs that were taken by the Hubble telescope? I couldn't get those out of my mind. There was a column of what looked like brown smoke And the caption of the picture told us that that column, which was photographed by the Hubble telescope, was 6 trillion miles high. 6 trillion miles. Now think, the height of the love of God, the depth of the love of God, He is the most high, far beyond the 6 trillion miles. We sing Hosanna in the highest. And there is no hole deep enough, no mountain too high, no hiding place from God's eye and from His judgment. And don't forget this, from His love. His love reaches out to us. Saint Teresa, whose words have often comforted me, I have a little card over my typewriter with some words from her. Let nothing disturb you, nothing trouble you. All things are passing. God never changes. And here's something else that she says. She tells us, as a soul progresses towards God, there comes a time when the sense of its own sin, as set against the majesty and purity and love of God, becomes an unbearable burden. It is just that awareness, the fruit of many prayers and many trials, that we need above all in the world today. The awareness of our own sin set against the majesty and purity of the love of God. Now, I have a little leaflet called to be Mothers, and I thought I would just read you some of this. Called to be Mothers. You mean that's all you do? That's all? As a mother, your life is given to taking care of people, small ones to begin with, whose wants never seem to cease. Sometimes when your days seem to be wholly taken up with wiping things, dishes and sinks, little runny noses and big slow tears, you wonder about what fulfillment is supposed to mean for you. You wonder about being, besides the perfect wife and mother, the hostess with the mostest, the creative, intellectually productive, beautiful, and slowly your dreams seem to evaporate. You've been listening to what they're telling us nowadays about how important it is to find yourself, express yourself, and assert yourself. Maybe you're thinking that you're nothing more than somebody's wife and somebody else's mother, and what kind of a life is that? There's a tribe in the southern Sudan called Nuers, where a woman's name is changed not when she becomes a wife, but when she becomes a mother. She is Man Puk, mother of Puka. Among the Nuers, being someone's mother is what makes a woman's life meaningful. 2,000 years ago, there was another young woman of the Jewish tribe of Judah who understood that truth. The world has never forgotten her, Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she was willing to be known as, simply, someone's mother. Motherhood is a calling. It is a womanly calling. And let's not be cowed by those who extinguish the light and joy of sexuality by trying to persuade us to forget words like manly and womanly. At the beginning of time, when God made the first man and the first woman in His image, He put both under the divine command to be fruitful. The woman's obedience to that command meant self-giving. First, she gave herself to her husband. He initiated. She responded. Then she gave herself for the life of her child. A woman knows in the deepest regions of her being that it is this very self-giving for which she was made. Single or married, her level of maturity is measured by how much she gives to others. If she's married, she gives herself to her husband, and she receives. If she's a mother, she loses her life in her child, and, mysteriously, she finds it. A woman knows that no one can really say where the giving ends and the receiving starts. It's no wonder we're confused when urged to look for some better or higher vocation in which to prove our personhood. No wonder we're distressed to be subjected to male standards or told that the notions of femininity and masculinity are obsolete. If our calling is to be mothers, let's be mothers with all our hearts, gladly, simply, and humbly, like that little peasant girl, Mary, who spoke for all women, for all time, when she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.